We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorites, our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Elk City. I'm doing fine, Monica.
Amen. We're so glad you could join us this morning. We've missed you.
Yes, I've missed you all too, but I had a good time.
Amen. We're glad you did, and we're glad you're back.
All right.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Y'all, she'll bless your shoes and socks off. Today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight. He's not in the building, but we'll have a word from him through the Truth broadcast. So when this is over, we'll end it on the iPad, and then we'll set it back up and come back with a word from him. The word from him today will be exposing the enemy. Ooh, I'm going to have to listen to that one, y'all.
Sounds good.
I think I covered it all beautiful. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, I thank you for this beautiful fall morning that you've given us, Lord, and I thank you for the changing of the season. I thank you for the cooler weather, for the coloring of the leaves, and I just thank you. This is my favorite time of year, and so I appreciate what you give us in this month of fall. Now, Father God, as I go forth this morning in the message that you have given me, and fear no evil, Lord, I just pray that you would bless those that are in hearing this message, Lord, that they would take it to heart. Those that seem to become fretful because of the things that are happening in this world, Lord, let them find some comfort in this message. And so, God, we just give you the praise for what you're going to do in this setting. We love you and we appreciate you. And we say thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, Fear No Evil. When I hear that, I think of Psalms 23. And I have the reminder.
All right.
I wear my reminder. And when I start feeling certain feelings, I'll just kind of pull on my reminder.
Yes.
I will feel no evil, for you are with me.
A lot of us need something to remind us, you know, of that. And I am coming from that passage of scripture, Psalms 23 and 4. But before I get into that, I want to read something that a friend of mine sent me. It's called it says Seer, S-E-E-R. So I'm not sure if it's supposed to be Now I See You, Now I Don't, or Now I Seer You, Now I Don't. It might be a play on words. But it's by Patty Finney Compton. And it says, the Lord handed me some glasses in a dream. This is a dream this lady had. I laughed because they had a line in them like the bifocals. People used to see distance and close up. But the Lord must have understood my concern and assured me that there is no nearsightedness or farsightedness with his seers. I saw him handing out new glasses to those he called seer. They all came with bifocals to separate the supernatural from the natural. He drew the line. It made me laugh because of how he speaks to me. And depending on the direction of the eyes, we know depends on how one sees. Above the line, the supernatural. Below the line, the natural. So to seer, we must be able to look up in him and come up higher. The Lord showed me we each have our own supernatural ability to see and to seer. All we have to do is put our God glasses on. This is how seers see with insight, foresight, and oversight. And when we do, we can see the world around us in ways that we have not seen before. Higher, deeper, wider, brighter, and more alive, all in him. This is the season to see through his creative kaleidoscope. The Lord said many of his children don't see not because they can't, but because they do not know they can. The Lord is wanting you to move into the fullness of everything that is your inheritance. So put those glasses on and start seeing through the lens of God. I promise you, you are going to see in a way you did not before. You are going to be surprised. There is so much he wants to share, show, and speak to his body. He wants to show you his creative expression and heavenly design splashed across the heavens and the earth. And you will see in a higher height and depth of who you are in him and his majestic creation. Let's all put on our God glasses and come up higher. I am. What do I see? Seer, I see Jesus Christ. All righty. And I wanted to read that because we need to see as God sees things in our lives and how he sees things in proportion as to what's going on in the world. I told Monica I was going to share something with her after the program, but I'm going to share this now because I think you all need to hear this. Just to let you know how God really foretells things before we get there. I don't know if y'all remember the program Early Edition, where a guy used to get up every morning and there was this cat sitting outside and this newspaper, and it'd be about what's going to happen the day before. And this kind of reminds me of that. But anyway, I've been gone to Tennessee to visit my family, and I was there a month. And so I brought a message at the church there where my family attends. And the message was, we are God's workmanship to good works. I had like 6 20-by-30 board prints of my pictures. And I handed out little cards, index cards, and I let them put down which board print spoke to them. And I shared with them how God wants to use each and every one of us and the giftings and talents. And as a matter of fact, there's a scripture talks about that we are to use our gifts to minister to one another. And so I share that scripture as well. And this is the second time I've given this message. And the number one photo each time that I've given this message has been, it's called a teaching lesson. And it shows my son holding this egg that's cracked. And it says, even if you feel like your life is all cracked up, God will hold you together. And what's significant about that, the egg, the shell is cracked. He cracked it, but then the membrane stayed intact. So I let them know, I said, God will keep you together even when you think you're cracked up. He's still holding you together. And God let me know further than that, he's holding us together inside. He's holding, that's something God just recently gave me, that he's holding us together inwardly when it looks like on the outwardly that we're falling apart. But anyway, I share that to say this, that when I got through with the message, and I think it was like a day or two later, they had a luncheon there with the mothers of the church, the older mothers, and they invited my sister and I, because we done got in that category now. But anyway, they invited us to come. And this lady started sharing with me after the luncheon. She says, I saw you in a vision. I saw you 2 weeks ago. I didn't know it was you because I couldn't see your face. I just saw a lady. And I saw you sharing about your pictures, what you shared about the pictures, the message. She's like, I even saw you using a phrase that you use about people are going to be like forks without heads in these times that we're living in. And she was saying only it was utensils with somebody was saying they're like utensils without heads. And I was just, you know, when she was telling me all this, I said, wait a minute, what did you say? I had to have her say that all over again. I said, you mean you actually saw this before I came? And she says, oh, yeah. And she sees other things. She saw some things concerning my brother. And it happened just like she said it happened. The incident that happened was that she told my brother, she says, be careful who you're around, you know, where you go. And anyway, he went. And this was months later, because she told him that a lady was going to be there, and she was going to ask for a ride, and she was going to say, you know, I need you to drop me off at this particular place, but when you pick her up, she's going to reroute you and take you somewhere where there's danger. Well, months and months later, he pulls up to this particular place, a convenience store, and this lady comes out and asks, can she get a ride, and tell her where she... Oh no, she hadn't gotten around to tell him where she needed to go. He looked at, oh no, I can't take you there. She said, how you know where I'm going? I can't take you. He got on his way. He said he thought what that mother told him. He said, oh no, he knew this was it. He said he wasn't picking up her, taking her nowhere. It didn't matter where she wanted to go. And so I'm sharing this to let you all know, God works in the supernatural. You got to know it, people of God. We are in a day and time where God is going to use the supernatural even more so to help us, to keep us safe, to provide protection and guidance for us. And so I'm letting you know that so that you won't be thinking, well, that's just something spooky. But when you hear me talking about my own personal experience with my brother, yes, God does work in that way. And so give God the freedom to do whatever he wants to do, to how he wants to lead and guide you in your life, be it even unto that dimension. And so I hope, you know, you receive. I just felt like I really needed to share that. I'm going to get into my message. I don't share about seeing and all that, but I'm going to get off into this. But this, I think this is important for you to know. All righty. Psalms 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All right. I want you to key in on some things here in that one verse. The shadow of death. Fear no evil, for you are with me. And the rod and the staff, they comfort. They comfort us. They comfort me. You know, these particular psalms is part of a trilogy of psalms, from Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24. Parts, if not all parts, of some of these psalms, like Psalms 22, does, I believe, in full part with the suffering servant of Jesus Christ. And Psalms 23 deals with Jesus as our shepherd. Psalms 24 deals with Jesus as the King of Glory from verses 7 through 10. Not the whole deal, but from 7 through 10. It deals with Jesus as the King of Glory. And so what's important about that is Jesus, the suffering servant, is that which has already taken place. That's in the past. Jesus as our shepherd. It was present for David, and it was present for us today. It's right now, even, you know, for us and relevant for us today. Jesus as the King of Glory, we know that he will come back in that manner. So you can look at it, that as futuristic. So Jesus, you know, he died as our shepherd. He provides. In the future, he will reign. He will reign. Let's talk about the shadow of death. What do we mean when we talk about the shadow of death? and what place is that dealing with? The Valley of the Shadow of Death. It speaks of a dark place, if you will. The whole phrase, the Valley of the Shadow of Death, speaks of a dark place. And we are experiencing dark places and dark times in our world presently. This is where we are at. There's a lot of darkness. And we know that from reading Isaiah 60. Let me go to that. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Alrighty here. Okay. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Though we're walking through some serious darkness, we cannot cower in fear. We have to know that we're the ones that the people are going to see as the light through the darkness. If we don't show the light, who will? If we don't show who God is in this earth, even at this time, who will? And so we've got to be that representative in these dark times. Now in Genesis 6, 5 through 11, let's go to that. Genesis chapter 6. This was a dark time on the earth as well. And this passage of scripture, starting with verse 5, says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." We don't want to be the one in the first category where it talks about wickedness of man being great in the earth and every intent of his thoughts of his heart being evil. There's enough of people out there that's showing that. And we see that in what has happened with Israel and this war with Hamas. We don't want to be found in that category, but we want to be where we find grace like Noah in the sight of God. And it does not mean that we're always doing the right thing, but when we do wrong, we confess before the Lord and we get it right and we keep moving right on. We don't get stuck off in the darkness. And so in Luke 17, 26 through 30, it tells you that we're going to be experiencing the times that Noah experienced and that Lot experienced. And so we got to know that we have these people on earth that their every intent and thought of their heart is evil. Yes, there's people like that on this earth that all they do all day long is think of evil things. It's sad to say, but that's where we are, people of God. That's the world that we live in. John 3. I want to go to John chapter 3 and verse 19 through 21, I believe it is. John chapter 3. All righty. And it says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. the evil that is going on in the world is really a, you know, the root cause is Satan himself. He's the ultimate darkness, and he's coming against the ultimate light, which is God. And so men are taking on that dark spirit of the enemy, and they are operating in the evil because that is what's in their heart. That is, I mean, they're acting out the evilness of the spirit of the enemy, the devil himself. He has come an even greater measure to cause mankind to act out this wickedness. And so that's why we are in this gross darkness. The enemy knows his time is short, and so he does what he can to cause people to act out in such wickedness. Think about some of the headlines we have here that I'm going to share. Like I said earlier, we have this war that Israel is in with Hamas. We know that, you know, what took place there on October 7th. And now we have just all across the world, Palestinian protesters have become vigilantes against the Jewish people, threatening and carrying out violence against them. And so it just seems so strange that we have such a thing that's going on in our world where people are upholding the standard of evil. See, this is part of that good is evil and evil is good. My dad was telling this at church. He had this dream, and he said he would just walk outside in the nature, and all of a sudden he looked up, and he saw people walking like he was, but they were upside down. They were walking, and their feet were up, straight up in the air, and they're walking. It's like the, you know, walking on their nature path or whatever. And he said, "Well, the world is upside down." And that was the message God was trying to get him to see. Yes, the world is upside down. This is what has happened. We're in an upside down world. People acting, you know, just unseemly. Then we have in California, there's a bill that will charge parents with child abuse if they choose to not affirm transgenderism of their child. I mean, how backwards is that? It's like the parents are being little bit by little bit stripped of their rights to be parents over their children. And it's like the children is getting all the rights, you know. There's a Utah school district that has banned the Bible from its elementary and middle schools. And they had a big protest about that in Utah at the state capitol. They didn't like that. Thank God for some people standing against that. We know about James Hicks, who killed 18 people at a bar and bowling alley in Lewiston, Maine. And then he killed himself. And now this one is one from overseas. University of Exeter, I think that's how it's pronounced, E-X-E-T-E-R, or Exeter, in England, plans to offer a master's degree in witchcraft. Now just think about that for a second. We are pushing evil in our culture. This is what's going on everywhere in the world. Evil is being pushed to be the norm, not that which is good or righteous, but that which is evil. It just boggles my mind to think that this is where we are, that evil is consistently being pushed. Now, is, you know, when you think about these type of things that are happening, and then you think about what it says in Psalms 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk," and even if you have to walk through death itself, "yea, though I walk through darkness," or whatever that will come, even to death, "how is it that I will fear no evil?" Well, it tells you, the rod and the staff. First thing it says, "For you are with me." I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. We've got to know that God has not abandoned us. We're not left out here to fight this evil on our own. God is with us. Keep that in mind. God is with us. The rod and the staff. Let's talk about the rod and the staff. The rod in Hebrew is S-E-B-E-T, Sebet or Sebet. And the staff is Mishena, M-I-S-H-E-N-A. It's a stick that was used in Leviticus 27 and 32 to count sheep. And also, when you think about these particular items, the rod and the staff, they're used to protect sheep from other animals and used for discipline. And so when you think about it, you're trying to figure about, you know, how is that going to help me to feel comforted? Because somebody's going to discipline me and or it's going to cause me to fall in rightful order. Is, you know, how is that going to help me? I'm going to try to get it to you here. When God uses his spiritual stick to bring discipline, then discipline brings obedience. And when you walk in obedience to that which God is giving you to do, then you have a comfort because you know that God cares for you. See, it's not a, what you want to call a type of obedience to beat you down, or discipline rather, to beat you down. It's a type of discipline to get you in order. It's a type of discipline to cause you to get in a path so that you can feel the presence of God leading and guiding you. See, it's God making provision for you along the way with his careful way of disciplining you to his way. I hope y'all getting understand what I'm saying here. That's how the comfort comes. So you can't be, how I want to say, if you have no guardrails, if you have nothing to instruct you, how are you going to be comforted when there's no way to follow, no path to follow in how you are to walk with the Lord? There is a way that God wants to keep us so that we will be comforted in our spirit when we fall into these dark times. We can't get like the world and just get wild and upside down and be like forks without heads, not knowing what. That, you don't feel no comfort in all that. Ain't no comfort there in all that. But the comfort is when you're walking in the midst of the darkness and God has given you peace to walk through because you're following in his pathway. See, you're following in the way that he desires you to go. Now, there's a scripture in Psalms 27 and 1 that says, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I want you to think about the words light, salvation, and strength. The word light means illumination. It means bright. It means clear. It means morning. Salvation means liberty, deliverance, safety. Strength means a fortified place, defense, rock, and stronghold. And so what I'm going to do is to tie this in with your discipline of the rod and the staff. See, when you're walking in the light and God is disciplining you for walking in darkness and he's showing you, see, he's illuminating your path. He's giving you a clear way to see. And then he delivers you out of that place of darkness. He delivers you out of that place. And then you find yourself resting in a fortified place, which the fortified place is God himself. He is your defense. He is your rock. He is your stronghold. I said this in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where I was visiting. I said, Jesus is enough. I must have said that about 6 or 7 times, Monica. I would start teaching about them pictures, and then all of a sudden I say, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you, how they may treat you, misuse you, abuse you. Jesus is enough. See, this is where we're going to have to get into the place of knowing that Jesus is enough for us. See, we've been too lax and too comfortable with all of the comforts of other things. But now these things are being stripped away, and we feel like we, you know, at a place that we start getting fearful when the Word of God says, fret not what evildoers do. See, we're going to find out that the Word of God is true. We're going to find out that the Word that God meant what he said. We're going to find out. We're finding out now, to tell you the truth. Because we're finding out that our lives have to revolve around God. Everything. I'm serious. Everything in our life. I know we do natural things. We eat. We watch TV. We have recreation. But, you know, even all of that, it still revolves around God, because we have to do it in a manner that pleases God. We can't just have entertainment where it's all raunchy and we saying all kind of stuff that's, you know, provocative and stuff. See, we got to understand, the scripture says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. We didn't make ourselves. So we don't have the right to do just any kind of way the flesh tries to direct us. We need to get in the spirit of which God made us and follow him. Let him be the light that illuminates our path. Let the rod and the staff be that which brings forth authority in our lives and disciplines us and keeps us in a place where we can find comfort in God. The discipline comes, it's not, you know, a comfort at first, but it leads you to that place of comfort. That's what you got to know. No, it's not a comfortable place when you're getting disciplined first. But once you get the discipline and find where you at in the process of things, then you say, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. Oh, now I feel the comfort of God because I'm where I'm supposed to be now. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. So I want to encourage you with that. I have a couple more scriptures, but I'm going to leave those for, you know, after the prayer request here. Okay.